Well, good morning, and welcome to the house of the Lord. Welcome to this day of rest, this time of worship. It's a blessing to be with you 2 weeks in a row. I was encouraged by a lot of people last week and the things I'm doing at Camp Shalom to share some more good news stories and the blessings of some things that are going on there. So the reason we have five different scriptures is because those are the themes from every day at camp. So I'll share a little bit about that with you too. There are no special announcements that I'm aware of today, unless perhaps there's someone that has one that I didn't receive. Is there an announcement we should share at the start of the day that we should pray about, know about, or be informed about? Prayer, concern, or need? If there is, make sure and let Tony know or myself know, and when it comes to prayer time, we'll make sure and share that too. So just, I have one announcement to share, just a personal blessing for myself too. I have three sons. And the oldest one has two children, and teacher in Calvin in Hamilton. Middle one is in the Army, three children, and they're in Petawawa. My youngest son, who got married at the start of COVID, right on the first day of it, actually the day just before it, March 24th last year, they were blessed with a son, a grandson for us. They're going to name him Miller, and he was born later last night after a little bit of a complicated time, how pregnancy and delivery can always be, but everything was fine and everything's great with them. They'll need a few days in the hospital, and I'm particularly full of praise about that, looking forward to seeing this little guy perhaps tomorrow or the next day. I also come from Camp Shalom. I'm the chairman of the board there, and because we've got this new mobile camp thing where because of COVID we're doing Camp Shalom at some different churches, including at Bethel Reformed Church, starting early tomorrow morning for a five-day program, and then 2 weeks from now at First Reformed Church in St. Catharines, and 2 weeks ago in Hamilton. So we're seeing a lot of blessings and challenges that come from that. But I look forward to particularly sharing about one young camper girl who said to me, "Can I tell you about how the Lord saved me?" And she didn't want to just tell me, she wanted to tell all of the kids. And what a blessing to be part of that, and to have Whitby Emmanuel be such a strong supporting role in that too. Without further ado, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Grace to you and peace in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's stand for How Great Thou Art. how vital it is to know that calls of confessing our sin are directed to those who know their sin. In our Reformed tradition, we use the assurance of salvation and the confession of our faith and the Ten Commandments to see how we ought to live. We see in creation and nature the good hand of God, but we see in creation and nature and our lives and the lives of those around us the great needs that there are. We see in creation floods in Europe, a tornado in Barrie, uprising in Haiti and South Africa. And a lot of times we need to realize that there is no good in us outside of God's gift of goodness, of love, of forgiveness. And how often we do the things we shouldn't do or don't do what we're supposed to. And so once again, we cling to the mercy, the grace offered by God once for all on the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's come before God together in the prayer of confession found here. Together. Most merciful God, whose Son Jesus Christ was tempted in every way, yet was without sin, we confess before you our own sinfulness. We have hungered after that which does not satisfy. We have compromised with evil. We have doubted your power to protect us. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Restore in us such trust and love that we may walk in your ways and delight in doing your will. Amen. From Ezekiel 36 and 2 Corinthians 1. The Lord God said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all God's promises are yes. Hear the good news. Through Christ, our minds and hearts are cleansed, healed, and renewed. Just before we have the Heidelberg Catechism, be reminded that the summary of the law, how we live as God's forgiven children, is found in the words of Christ when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Why is he called Christ, meaning anointed? Because he has been ordained by God the Father and has been anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who perfectly reveals to us the secret counsel and will of God for our deliverance. Our only high priest, who has set us free by the one sacrifice of his body, and who continually pleads our cause with the Father, and our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who guards us and keeps us in the freedom he has won for us. And if you ever want to know further about the Heidelberg Catechism or the scriptures that they are based on, please make sure and ask, because I'm sure we can get those to you. For our opening prayer, we're also going to be praying for others, for our world, and then share together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord and Savior, King and Creator, Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, especially in this time after Pentecost. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness, the gift of salvation and freedom, the gift of being able to receive your word, your Spirit's leading, and Lord, for the blessing of being able to share that in word and in deed. Lord, we do want to pray for your children, for your congregation here in Whitby and our family and their needs, for those in our prayer corner and those on the list of those we can pray as we pray for one another. So Lord, we pray for Janet and Nellie, John and Alan, Jasper and Kathy, for Liz and for Margaret, for Carly and Pat and Gordon. And Lord, I particularly want to praise you for the healthy arrival of a grandson just this past evening. Be with Abby and her recovery in the hospital too. And Lord, in this week, let's remember to pray for one another, for Janet, Jane, John, and Trudy. Lord, we thank you that we can hold each other up in prayer, in good times and in challenging ones. Lord, we pray for the needs in our province too, and thank you that we were able to pass through another level of getting out of COVID. We pray that you'd be with those who are still struggling with it and those around them, and particularly our frontline and healthcare workers. Lord, we want to thank you for sparing us from the challenges of the weather. Lord, that tornado in Barrie and the heavy flooding, a lot of rain, particularly in Europe. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be with those people who have lost loved ones in Europe and those who need to rebuild in Barrie. Lord, we also hear on the news about uprisings in different places like South Africa and Haiti, other places too, where there are exceptional challenges among rioters or among those suffering from different weather anomalies or those dealing with a lack of food or safe drinking water or safety, those experiencing the ravages of fire or other disasters. Lord, I pray that you would particularly be with the churches, the ministers, and the Christians, the relief agencies that are helping people in those most difficult, most hard-hit areas. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of Camp Shalom. And I thank you for Tim and Adrian and all those who work in different areas in the office and administration on the grounds, and the many volunteers too. Be with the staff as they have a weekend to relax, recover, worship you, and now for the first time when they can welcome overnight guests tomorrow and have another away camp, a mobile camp, as well as one on the grounds during the daytime. I pray, Lord, that you would guide all of the leaders and all of the families of the children and the children who come, particularly those who need to or will be growing in you or becoming Christians, or those who have no Christian background or home at all. Lord, we want to continue to pray for the different volunteer and ministry opportunities that are here at the church and in the community, that you would help us to respond to the needs we see around us. Lord, we thank you for the elders and the deacons and the consistory meeting and the information shared about this past week. And we pray, Lord, that you'd already be with the plans for the fun fair, with the nursery as it'll begin in the church again here, and with all of the other needs and concerns and things we know about and things we don't know about. Lord, we know that there are many hidden struggles, whether it's physically or financially or things within the lives of our families or neighbors. Lord, we do pray and lift those up before you too. Help us, Lord, to be a church and people of prayer. May your house be a house of prayer. And may we be people who not only pray for others, but know and expect that you will answer in your way. And Lord, help us even to let others know that we're praying for them. Lord, we thank you for the many answers to prayer that you've given, the way that you have protected and guided and led in these past hours and days and weeks and months, in our family, in our community, and in our world. Lord, we thank you that we can continue to lift our praises and our prayers before you. But we thank you, Lord, that when your disciples said, "Teach us to pray," you taught them the Lord's Prayer that we can pray now together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory. Amen."
Amen.
Spirit of the Living God. Just before we share in scripture and in prayer, I just want to say a particular thank you to Tony and to Tricia, who have done so much extra work, especially not having a pastor now. When I think about the hymns that are chosen, the organization that happens, the things that are happening around the church, keep them as well in your prayers as you look forward to further healing, both of you. And thank you for the work that that many others are doing that others don't even see, whether it's in the building or outside or in the community or encouraging one another or looking each other up or praying for one another. It is a blessing that needs to be shared and continued and, by the grace of God, recognized occasionally as well too. So we are going to pray for understanding. We're going to pray that the same Lord God, Holy Spirit, who gave the Word of God thousands of years ago, will make it clear to us. And I'm going to pray that we learn something for our minds, that we grow in something for our hearts and our lives, and that God would challenge us that if there are ways we can use His Word by what we say, by what we do, by where we go, that He would show us that too. Let's pray for understanding. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of singing and fellowship and being in this house of worship. We thank you for the blessing of being able to open your word, the Bible. Lord, there are many other Christians here in Whitby, in Ontario, in Canada, in the world, who are turning to you now. Be with those particularly who are in mission contexts or contexts where things are not so easy as we have it. Lord, I pray that your Spirit, who gave us your word, would make it by the wind and fire of your Spirit alive to us too. Lord, I'm sure there are many here who need comfort, who need reassurance, who need the awareness of your presence through what they're facing, and may they see and hear that by your Spirit's leading and in your word. Lord, some of us need challenge to move from where we are to where you're calling us. Some are dealing with change or hardship or difficulty. Lord, some of us are maybe experiencing a lot of blessings right now, and we need to be able to be challenged to direct them towards you and to use our blessings for your glory and others' benefits. Lord, help us to remember your word that says we are blessed to be a blessing. Lord, we pray now that thy word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. You, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You might notice that there are five shorter scripture readings. And in the theme of Camp Shalom, one of these has been used every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I'm going to share a little bit about each of them as they bring across the simple gospel message and the challenge to apply it and to really know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. As long as I've been a part of camp, that's always been, under different themes, the focus of the week. And so I'd like to share these one at a time right now. Turning to the word of the Lord, first of all, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And on a Monday, we start by looking at God's goodness. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called light, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Then turning to Romans 3, verses 23, and Romans 6, 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16-17. Probably one of the first scripture verses that many people memorized. I'd like to add to it the challenge of not just John 3:16, but John 3:17. A little challenge. If you haven't committed that to heart, to memory yet, maybe that's a good challenge for this week. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Then Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The word of the Lord. And may God add his blessing to all who hear and read and apply it. Amen. So you're not just going to simply get a Camp Shalom message this morning, but I'm blessed to be able to share it, to review it myself, and to just remind us all of the simplicity and yet the depth of the Word of God. It's so simple that we can say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And it's so deep that students of theology can spend years preparing for pastoring and preaching and teaching and just scratch the surface of some of the things that the Lord teaches here. Now, I think that the starting point in our walk of faith and knowing the Lord begins by looking up and looking around. And I'd like to tell you why, and that's because of Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I think a walk with the Lord and sharing at the camp and living our faith doesn't begin with us. It begins with God. It begins with his goodness or his creation. And to marvel at the fact that at every day of creation, God said, "It is good." The world was formless and void. The Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. But yet in the beginning was God. I almost do that in a song way as I teach quite often. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created? What did he create? When did he create? How did he create? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And like I share many times, when you see that there's such a great design, such a great creation, it's ultimately meant to point to a designer and a creator. Romans 1, verse 20. And we should ultimately see that God is good, and in all of his creation that he created to glorify him, he created it as a gift for mankind also, because the crown of creation, the sixth day of creation, was mankind, and then, for the first time, it was very good. God simply spoke it, "Let there be light," and there was light. Creation was good, and the fullness of creation was very good. And then he gave it to mankind. Fill the earth, have dominion, subdue it, and use it for his glory. And I think that one of the things that really helped with the students, and I wish I would have brought it now, is I've got a fossil with me. Bought it a long time ago of a trilobite. So it's a dark piece of rock, and in there is a crustacean with two halves. Sort of like what would be a small, older crab now. And in the early days of creation, there were trilobites, but now there aren't anymore. We just have the fossil record of it. But imprinted in a rock are things of God's creation. Imprinted in his creation is his leading. Imprinted in our hearts and lives, because we are made in the image and likeness of God, imprinted in us is that same image and likeness. The breath of God that he gave to Adam has been passed along to us, and ultimately in the fullness, in the breath of the Holy Spirit. God created everything good, printed, imprinted with the image of God. Yes. Then we move to Tuesday. Tuesday moves from God's goodness, our foundation, to who we are. Yes, also created good, created perfect, created as a crown of God's creation. But then come those verses from Romans 3:23, 6:23, the reality of what took place in the Garden of Eden and the sin and the curse and its penalty that's been with us ever since, but the reality of what we choose in our lives. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Like the imprint in the fossil of the goodness of God imprinted in us is also the print of sin, a part of what we're born with, a part of what we choose, versus on the opposite side, God's holiness and God's justice that demands a payment for, an answer for the sin that is there. And then we move to Wednesday with the camp, where the third Bible verse we had, John 3:16-17. Now, John 3:16-17 is the famous, "For God so loved the world that he gave." But I think we've got to go a little bit further than that, because we have to realize that this gift of God really did come at the right time 2,000 years ago. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. I did a lot of study on why that was the fullness of time. The roads leading to Rome, the common language, the spiritual thirst, the hunger that was there for a Savior, the cry in people's heart, the bondage they had with the Romans, but yet a common language and yet a unique time in history for the blessing of the peace that was there, though a subjugated peace when they were under Roman rule, wanting a Savior and a Redeemer. And then Jesus coming and Jesus basically saying so clearly, when there were so many other gods, Jesus saying, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." In this religiously pluralistic world where we are taught to accept and love everyone, yes, but Jesus says so exclusively, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." We have a unique gift that we have heard about, received, accepted, and walk in. Salvation only in Jesus. Remember the tenets of the Reformation, that we are blessed to be a part of one of the churches, the key church thereof. Salvation only through faith, only through grace, not through works, not through actions, through the calling and then the receiving, our receiving of the accepted gift of the Spirit. Really, Wednesdays at camp have always been a pinnacle for that, and sometimes in different degrees a real call for salvation. Not just in a scary hell's gates, heaven's flames type way, but in a way that says so clearly and fully that there is only one way. The same Creator who calls us from creation and has given us the Word and a history of His calling and imprinted us with His image and likeness is the same one who calls us to repentance and salvation through the gift of His Son. And then we move further from that. What does receiving that gift mean? Or what is the result or the outcome of our salvation? We move from the goodness of God to our sin and great need, to salvation offered only through Christ, to our response. Well, hopefully it's a response of faith first, receiving the free gift. But sometimes we forget how that gift embodies itself in us, because indeed it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gift of Pentecost that comes. I think I've read before, but I'd like to read what in my opinion is one of the key verses of Pentecost. It says many visitors had come, right? From Rome, from Judaism, from converts to Judaism, Jews, Arabs, Cretans, from Pontus, Asia, all these people came. And what did they hear? Well, they probably heard some kind of a wind or thunder. Maybe some of them heard or saw the flame of the Holy Spirit. But this is what they heard. This is the most important part. Acts 2, verse 11 and 12. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? And I hope that sometime we have people who ask us, what does this mean, this faith that you're living in, this language of love that you're telling us about, the knowledge of God, the goodness, the wonderful works of God in their own language? That's a hard thing. How do we speak the language of the people around us? Well, let's remember, it's the Holy Spirit who guides us to speak that language of love to those around us, the wonderful works of God. So what do we share? How do we grow in that? Well, the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, what is the harvest that is planted as the seed of the word and prayer and Christian living? What does that grow into? What is the fruit? Love, joy, and peace. The staff would teach the campers to do this with all different actions. I can't quite do it fast enough, but there was the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, and the self-control. Those are the internal results of salvation that then have an external expression. But it starts with the heart. It starts with what's inside. It starts with what the Lord God does for us. Yes, we're called to pray and to read the Bible and to worship. But we're called that the Word of God bears the fruit of the Spirit by His leading in us, as we read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. But it goes a little further than that. Because as I mentioned earlier, a girl named Ava, by the way, there were three Avas this past week at camp. Who would have guessed? Can I tell how God saved me? Well, it came just at the end of the day on Thursday when she asked that. We were just praying and the parents were starting to come to pick up the kids at camp from the day camp there. Can I tell how God saved me? Well, in my cautious way, I always say, of course you can tell how God saved you, but we're going to share a prayer and we're going home now, but can you tell your counselor or myself before our sharing time tomorrow so that we can hear it and then do that? And sure enough, the next day, Ava comes. Can I share how God saved me? I told my counselor, is that okay? Yes, Ava, that's okay. Can I pray for you? Nope. She said, nope, I'm all ready. I laughed. I don't need prayer. I'm ready to share. I talked with my counselor. I'm ready to share. And she did. It wasn't a fancy salvation message at all. If you want to know the truth, it turned out that she'd fallen off her bike in the ditch. And she was sore and she was hurt. And she'd prayed that God would save her and that she'd get out and be okay. Well, that was her salvation message. But you know something? The heart of what she shared began a 15 or 10 minute sharing time at the campfire on our last day of me asking other children if they wanted to share about how God had saved them or what they had learned or what God and faith means to them. And she was the first one to do so. The fact that she was in the ditch and not hurt wasn't the big deal. What the big deal was this: God saved her. She could label the fact that being in the ditch and having to get out and not being hurt, was a gift from God. And an 8 or 9 year old got to tell all of the campers and staff about that. And then, of course, everybody had to tell their story of when they were hurt and sore and God saved them. But in there were salvation messages as well, in the children's words. And there were messages, every single one of them had heard clearly, and they all shared how they knew it was God's leading, it was God's saving in their family of someone who was hurt, of their owie or whatever it was. They were able to say that was God who did that. Some of them added prayer in there. Some of them you could see very clearly in the way they shared did not come from Christian homes. Some came from homes where they probably never knew anything outside of Christian living because it was all a faith-based home. Some were from Christian schools and some weren't. Some had extended Christian families and some had friends and families that didn't have any faith in them at all, outside of perhaps just their mom or just their dad. And what a challenge that is. But basically, Friday became the whole idea of how do we share or what are we saved for? And I chose to use as the key verse for that what comes up in Matthew 5. You, said Jesus, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, what good is it for? Salt was used for money. Salt was used to heal or cleanse things. Salt was used to give flavor. Salt was used to preserve food because they didn't have fridges and freezers then. You are the salt of the earth, said Jesus. You are the light of the world. And right away, a city on a hill can't be hidden. People don't put a light under a bushel or under a bowl. They put it on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So living out our faith so others can see is the foundation of what's shared on Fridays at camp, or what's shared in the messages that I shared for a while, always having like little illustrations or things for the kids to see, or a verse or a teaching to repeat after me, or a song to put part of it into. What a blessing. So the sharing of you are the salt, you are the light, living out our faith for others to see. I just want to go back to the fact that we do have imprinted in our hearts and lives the calling, the blessing of God. Yes, a fossil is a dead thing that's pressed together to make a print in a rock. But what's printed in our hearts and lives is that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Remember that. God loves you. He created a good earth, made people, and it was very good. The goodness of God, may we always live and shine that. The reality of our own sin. I've always loved those verses in Romans 3:23 and 6:23. We are sinners. If we think we can deserve or own or have owed to us salvation or God's goodness, we come from a wrong foundation. Some people seem to know that very well, their sin, and some people don't seem to know it at all. We need to share it in the way we live and in what we say. And then that heart of the gospel, John 3:16, for God, starts with God, so loved the world. I challenge students, take out the word the world and let's say the verse without the word the world in it and put your own name in it. For God so loved Pastor Bill that he gave. And then we go on. What did he give? Why did he give it? How does he call us to realize he is the only way, truth, and the life? And the working of the Spirit does this. It's not our doing that does this. It's not our calling or our answer that does this. It begins with the work of the Spirit in us. The same Spirit who offers us, who gives us, who calls us to bear his fruit. Those 9 simple ones, love, joy, peace. Did you know all of those? It didn't take too long for us to find all of those have a song about them, particularly a kid's song. Love or joy or peace, all of those have a simple song that the kids can learn, whether they're 30-year or 50-year-old songs or new songs that have been written by Christians. And then finally, we are called to share it. We are not called to just sit on our hands or stay within the safety of our churches. We're called to live that faith. And a lot of times that living of that faith is done with our ears in our listening. Sometimes it's with our hands and our doing, our feet and our going. And sometimes it's done being ready to share the gospel of the good news of Christ that he's given us. And it's not a scary thing. It just takes prayer and patience and leading and saying, Lord God, I hope I never get called to evangelize or to share my faith, but if I'm called to, Lord, prepare me. Prepare me with your word. And then that last phrase in one of those songs we sung was, do not fear. Don't fear. I think many people, many Christians live in fear. What if I have to live and share or tell about my faith? We'll realize that a lot of us will probably never be called on to tell or share our faith. A lot of us are called to live it in action. You know, I one time heard a speaker who said, share the word of God. Share it boldly. Share it truthfully. Share it in a real way. And use words if you have to. In other words, live out the gospel. Live out the word. And it was such a blessing to hear kids share about recognizing God in their lives. Camp is blessed to be basically almost be at capacity based on the COVID numbers. Capacity means that all the cabins can't be used or can't be used with a whole lot of campers in them. It means having more staff, and all of the staff are utilized very well. I'm exceptionally impressed with what I think goes in the category of one of the best staffs ever. Mind you, though, I usually say that, right? You tell students every year, you're one of the best classes I've had. Doesn't matter if you're 20 out of 20 in the classes I've had, you're one of the best, right? And then my job is to encourage you and challenge you to live up to that. But I think that there's such a blessing in seeing that things are opening up at camp, that special needs kids, guests can come overnight for the first time now, not last week or the week before. If Camp Shalom would have been 20 yards further to the east, we would have been across that health line border, and we could have had campers stay overnight. I texted Tim, and I said, listen, why don't you ask the farmer if you can just borrow a couple of square yards of land next to us, because the kids are allowed to stay there overnight. They can't stay here, though, because that's how they interpret the health guidelines here. It was a big joke. But it gave time to get ready to have the kids who'd signed up to be overnight this past week or two sign up into other days. Some of them donated the money back. Some are coming next year. Some are just coming a different week. And to have mobile camps, that's a new thing, to take half a dozen staff and go to a church and say to that church, can you charge the kids $10 or $20 or $30 per week, and the church contribute for the finances needed for the staff salaries, and let's see what happens. Well, let me tell you what happened. All three churches that signed up for it were at capacity. Mind that we didn't charge enough. $20 a week doesn't even cover driving or supplies. And then the kids bring their own food, their own snacks. In some ways it's easier, and they get lots of games and activity and entertainment, singing, yes, and the gospel, and the challenge to connect with that church if they don't have a church home. It's hard for churches to get the staff they need for vacation Bible schools. These aren't vacation Bible schools. They're a full-day program, 8:30 till 3:30 or 4. And the volume of parents who said to me and texted Adrian and Tim later, because they were all sent a survey, a lot of them want to know, are you going to have it again next year? A lot of them want to know, can we sign up for next year? A lot of them want to know, is it going to be the same week next year? Well, that's up to the churches that we're at. But I hope they get such a great need that they fill the whole summer with in-camp and out-of-camp programs. Let your light so shine where you are, and let your light so shine outward that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. So I didn't write a special message or a new message for this morning. It's a message I shared the last 2 weeks. With having a camp of day camp at camp and having a camp out, they need twice as many coordinators of driving, because they have to be over 25 to be insured to drive, and coordinators of the speaking times and the campfire times. That's the end of the day when we have a devotion. Speaking times is part of power and praise. So I felt especially, I feel strongly about the truth of the Bible verse. I don't even know if it's a Bible verse. To whom much is given, much is required, meant that I should avail myself to being chaplain for these 3 weeks, twice off-site, once on-site, and it's been a blessing. And when you really give yourself to the Lord and to others, then I think the greatest blessing comes to the one who gives. When you give of yourself to the Lord, when you pour yourself out for others and for the Lord, when it's done with the right reasons, quite often God has more blessings that he gives you than you think you've given to others. Sort of like when you visit someone in a hospital, you go to encourage them and you leave with a spirit of encouragement yourself by what they've said or by what the Lord gives. So I want to encourage you with the same theme that the Camp Shalom Summer has: best summer ever. And for some campers, it is the best day or the best week ever. For some campers, it's the first day of the rest of their life with walking with the Lord. And we pray that with the follow-up that camp does more often now, with postcards, with a phone call, with a survey, We pray that these campers grow as Christians, if they are Christians, are challenged about faith or loved into God's kingdom, or are challenged to become Christians. And I just particularly want to say on behalf of the board, thank you for your support of camp. And thank you for the blessing of being able to share with you the focus of what was shared there. I wish I had another half hour to tell just some unique little stories about how campers and staff love one another, challenge one another, work together, make up for the ones that are a little bit overly tired because they stayed up too long the night before, or have a blessing of serving in ways that I see almost all of them, putting the Lord first, the staff, putting the campers first too, the joy of Jesus, others, and yourself, the joy of seeing them work together, sharing songs with enthusiasm that the kids love the actions for, and songs that also have the heart of the gospel in them. Songs that are fun and silly, whether it's around a table that they're eating or at the power and praise time or just even humming to themselves as they walk along. Seeing kids who really have no understanding of Christian faith or Christian love kind of get disciplined or challenged or taken aside or asked to see and to get changed. Watching even the gal who does the maintenance there, the summer students who does the maintenance. One of the campers was walking over by themselves and I saw two staff members saying, oh, she's walking the wrong way. She's going by herself there. Is she lost or is she running away? And seeing the one who does the maintenance, hardly has any contact with campers at all. Someone who I was blessed to lead as a discipleship coordinator 10 years ago. So a 25-year-old maybe. And anyhow, I saw her and this girl who was walking away just sitting in the grass together. I never had the chance to ask her, did you ask her why she was leaving? Was she sad? Did you share salvation with her? What did you talk with her about? Doesn't matter what they shared, but she stopped her when she was walking away a little bit, sat down with her, and then the two of them came back together later about 5 or 10 minutes, and this little girl had a step in her, a joy in her step and a smile on her face. I wish I knew what they would have shared. I can't find out this coming week because I'm going to help with the Brantford one, so I just come there long enough to pick them up, bring them to Brantford, and then set up with them and then share in the devotion times and assisting in leading a group and then doing the ending. So I won't get a chance to talk to her, but I'd like to find out from the staff member, what did you share? What happened? What took place? Did a seed get planted? Was there a harvest? Did you just talk with her? Or did she just talk? What a blessing to share. And I hope that some of the blessing of the basics of the good news, God's love, our sin, our need for a Savior, Jesus as the only way across that great barrier between God's love and goodness and our sin, receiving, accepting that as the only way, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, being salt and light. I hope that's something that in those verses, they're all in your bulletin, you can read them again anytime this week. I hope as you read them this week, perhaps that you'll pray for the camp and for myself and the others who are there. Pray for an at-capacity group. In fact, I think there are two over. I think they've got 52 signed up, and they're only supposed to have 50. But there's always a couple who don't show, right? Like airlines who overbook. Let's do that with the airline to heaven. Let's overbook it. What a blessing to share, and what a blessing to share here this morning. I look forward to being here, I think, in 3 weeks again when we share in communion. So make sure and prepare your hearts for that as well. Again, I think that's August 8th. And an extra joy in my step. My three sons now all have a son. What a blessing. What a blessing the things we're experiencing at camp and outside of camp. Keep them in prayer. Keep them in your support. And keep growing in the knowledge, the love, and the living out and the receiving of the fruit, the bearing of the fruit, the being salt and light that you and I are called to be. Amen. Let's come before God in prayer. Let's pray for His blessing on His word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clearness of your love and plan for this world and for us. Lord, help us to also not take sin lightly, but to realize that you fully paid for it through the gift of your Son, a gift we can have by faith. Help us, Lord, not to compromise as much as we want to listen to our neighbors and family and friends with so many different beliefs. Help us not to compromise the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Lord, that you choose your fruit to be born in us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can be salt and light because of your Spirit shining in us and through us. And thank you, Lord, for the gift of Camp Shalom and the message that can be shared there. Thank you, Lord, for calling us to worship and sending us out to serve. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for the benediction, and let's stand for our closing song of Revive Us Again. People of God, you have come to worship, and now go out to serve and receive the benediction. May the grace of God the Father, may the love of His Son Jesus Christ, and may the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one, now and forevermore. Amen.